out of Vegas!
You heard it, straight out of Vegas, 200 stations coast to coast. I am indeed Brad Powers, filling in for Bernie Fratto tonight. Sleepy J is here. And of course, we're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio Studios, where 15 minutes can save you 15% or more on car insurance. Visit geico.com for a free rate quote. Guys, great show lined up for you tonight. We're talking NBA playoffs, both tonight's games that just got over with and also previewing tomorrow's games. We got the largest contract in the history of college football, and of course, best bets at the very end of the show. But guys, first, the biggest sports story of the weekend, the NFL draft in Nashville. And let's start off that NFL draft discussion with the most talked about pick of the draft. It had to be the New York Giants, Sleepy, taking Daniel Jones, the Duke quarterback, with the number 6 pick in the NFL draft. So, you're going to ask me, what is the Vegas take on Daniel Jones? Guys, I got to tell you, first and foremost, to make it in this industry, you got to be contrarian. You can't think about this. You cannot make one single bet without being contrarian. When you bet a game, I don't care if it's side, total, whatever, you're basically saying, hey, that line is wrong. The market's wrong. It's incorrect. You think team XYZ, the line should be this, and the line should be higher or lower, whatever you're taking there. So if the market's always right, I mean, I wouldn't have a career here in sports betting. So with Jones, with regards to him, I'm not going to sit here and argue that it wasn't a reach. It was a reach taking Daniel Jones at number 6. But if you've been listening to the national media here the last couple of days, you'd think the Giants taking Daniel Jones was among one of the worst picks in the history of the NFL draft. And that's where I think the media is wrong here. I mean, it's become very popular to jump on the GM, Dave Gettleman, for the Giants. I'm going to sit here and tell you tonight, from a Vegas perspective, Daniel Jones can be a quality starter in the NFL. And to start it off, I'm going to make my case here. Let's talk college career stats, because, I mean, that's what we have, the book on Daniel Jones. Let's see how he does. And everyone's banging on some of his stats here, the inaccuracy issues, you know, the wins and losses and whatnot. I'm going to compare Daniel Jones' college career to a quarterback that went number 3, not number 6, number 3 overall in the draft. And right now, I think all of you out there, coast to coast, would consider this quarterback to be a top 10 quarterback in the last decade of the NFL. Let's talk measurables. Daniel Jones has the measurables. We're not talking Kyler Murray here. We're talking 6'5", 220. That's the prototypical NFL quarterback, Daniel Jones, 6'5", 220. This quarterback that I'm going to compare him to happens to be 6'4", 217. So Daniel Jones, slightly bigger. Completion percentage, college. Everyone's banging on Daniel Jones. Completed in his career 60%. Quarterback I'm going to compare him to, that's a top 10 quarterback in the NFL, in his college career, 60% completion percentage. Career yards, college. Daniel Jones threw for over 8,000. All right. This quarterback I'm going to compare him to threw for more than 9,000 yards. So not too much more there for the quarterback comparison. Touchdowns in college. Daniel Jones, 52. Quarterback I'm going to compare him to that's top 10 in the NFL, 56 touchdowns. Interceptions, 29 for Daniel Jones. This top 10 quarterback in college threw 37 interceptions. 56-37 touchdown interception ratio. That doesn't sound too great. But again, he went top 3 in the NFL draft, and he's been a top 10 quarterback in the last decade. And here's the big disparity that no one seems to talk about with Daniel Jones. He's more mobile than what you think. In fact, in his college career, more than 1,300 rushing yards for Daniel Jones. The quarterback that I'm comparing him to only had 58 rushing yards. Have you figured out who that quarterback is? Sleepy, you got an answer?
I have no idea.
Quarterback's Matt Ryan for the Atlanta Falcons. Would you agree, top 10 quarterback in the last decade in the NFL?
Right now, yes.
All right, so I know you're going to be asking me out there, hey, but you know what? In 10 years, you know, it's more quarterback-friendly, the offenses in college, so of course Daniel Jones' stats could compare to a guy from 10 years ago. All right, I hear you. I understand that. Let's compare Daniel Jones to a quarterback that went 7 last year. 7 overall in the NFL draft. His name, Josh Allen. Daniel Jones, better completion percentage, more yards, more touchdowns. Daniel Jones did throw a couple more interceptions than Josh Allen. And actually, Josh Allen, everyone talks about his, you know, deceptive mobility. Josh Allen really, you know, did well with his legs last year, his rookie year in the NFL. Daniel Jones ran for 600 more yards than Josh Allen did in college. So, guys, I know it's popular to go along with the media narrative out there and bang on Daniel Jones, but keep in mind, he's playing at Duke. He doesn't have a lot of talent around him. He's playing, his Duke team is out-talented probably in 8 or 9 games a season. This isn't Dwayne Haskins at Ohio State, Kyler Murray at Oklahoma, where maybe one game a year they don't have the talent advantage. I mean, in fact, if you look at it, Daniel Jones' wide receiver core last year led the nation in what category? How about drop percentage? Mm-hmm. Nearly 11% dropped passes. Think about if it was just average. What would Daniel Jones' completion percentage be if he, you know, had a decent, just an average wide receiver core, 65%? Mm-hmm. And then we talked about this on Straight Out of Vegas, Sleepy. You know, I've heard some national media members, maybe with the initials of RJB, kind of joke around that Eli Manning had better stats last year than Daniel Jones, even though everyone considers Eli Manning to be a bottom five quarterback. Keep in mind, and I argued this with that guy, who's, again, initials RJB, Eli had a top five running back in the NFL, Saquon Barkley, a top five wide receiver in the NFL, Odell Beckham, and he still had those stats. I mean, if you give Daniel Jones, let's say a Josh Jacobs or a Miles Sanders at running back and a wide receiver, an A.J. Brown or a N'Keal Harry, I'm telling you right now, Daniel Jones' stats, you know, he'd be up there to 65%, a lot more yards, probably a couple more wins, and we wouldn't be banging on him as much. So, again, I'm going to sit here and tell you, I don't think Daniel Jones, I'm not putting him in the Hall of Fame in Canton right now. But instead of throwing him in the trash like everyone else is doing here, I'm going to take the position that I think Jones can end up being a quality NFL starter. All right, coming up in a few moments, we'll talk biggest draft surprises from a Vegas perspective. But first, great news. There's a quick and easy way you could save money. Switch to Geico. It only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com and see how much you could save. All right, we're talking draft here. From a Vegas perspective, here's a couple of the biggest draft surprises, Sleepy, and tell me if you had any bets on these. We're talking quarterbacks. That's what you always want to talk about with the NFL draft. Believe it or not, the over-under for quarterbacks in the first round, Sleepy, 3.5. The over, minus 500. All the money on over 3.5. And yet the under cash, that was one of the big surprises. Almost every mock draft had 4 quarterbacks going. You didn't make that bet. You didn't lay 500 to win 100, did you, Sleepy?
I had it early. I took 4.
Ugh, that was rough. And that quarterback that fell out, Drew Locke, over under his draft position, believe it or not, was 10.
Mm-hmm.
10. He doesn't even go in the first round. He ends up at number 42 to Denver. That was one of the biggest surprises from a Vegas perspective. Let's talk, continue the quarterbacks. I mean, the league kind of, you know, made their case that this year's quarterback class wasn't that strong. West Virginia quarterback Will Grier, I gave this out on Straight Out of Vegas. His over-under draft position earlier in the week was like 37.5. I think later in the week it was like 52.5. Will Grier, the quarterback for West Virginia, he doesn't go until pick 100 to Carolina. And I thought one of the bigger surprises came at the offensive tackle. Juwan Taylor, over-under draft position, 7. He doesn't go in the first round. In fact, he ends up at Jacksonville at number 35. Many mocks had him going to Jacksonville at number 7 in the first round. So, overall, a lot of surprises there. But real quickly here, you might be asking, hey, how does Vegas react to the NFL draft? I mean, it's a spectacle there in Nashville each and every year. Well, earlier this week, we talked on how Vegas can upgrade or downgrade teams after the draft. Let's go ahead and give this a listen.
Fez, let me ask you, what are the scenarios that a team's draft is going to affect your power ranking on them, let's say, the week after the draft?
Only one. Reaching for a quarterback that likely could actually be the starter.
But by saying reaching, you mean you downgrade the team.
Exactly right. So what's going to happen if Arizona takes Kyler Murray? Oh, there's going to be extreme excitement about Arizona. I tell you what, Kyler Murray probably going to be a better quarterback than Josh Rosen eventually, but not week one to start the season. I would have that as a downgrade.
And I also think there's one other time. If there's a good drafting team historically, Steelers, Patriots, Ravens, go up and down the list, and they have an inordinate number of picks, and the Patriots fit that bill this year, they're going to hit on some of them. You know, what's the Patriots number? They get like 12
picks.
12 yep. picks in six rounds. I think that literally doubles the chance the Patriots are going to get some players. And oh, by the way, they had a number of draft choices last year that got injured. And if you have a high draft choice that gets injured early in the season, it's almost like you have another number one pick. Could I make the case that the team that probably improves the most from this draft this year will be the Patriots?
I think you can, especially they get six picks in the top 100. So these are not just fifth, sixth round guys that they're going to be able to select from.
I mean, to me, that's a time I'm looking to upgrade the Pats just because it's a numbers game. You never know for sure. And that's what Belichick has taught us. He's always trading back because he's saying, you think you're sure this guy at 28 is that? I'd rather have two shots at 42, let's say, than your one shot at 28. Mm. That's been Belichick's theory all along. Now he's got the best of both worlds. He's getting double the shots and doesn't even have to trade back. Imagine if he starts trading back.
Yeah, this is Brad Power straight out of Vegas. Again, like RJ and Fez were mentioning, Vegas doesn't overreact to the NFL draft like the public does. That's the lasting impression the public has all summer long. Well, they had a good draft. You know, this team, I'm going to upgrade them. So here's what I do every year before the draft. Because the week one lines are out now when it comes to the NFL. So I print it off before the draft, and then after the draft, I see what's moved. Believe it or not, the biggest move so far in the last 3-4 days since the draft started has nothing to do with the NFL draft. The Chiefs, they go from 5.5 down to 4.5 point favorites at Jacksonville. We're talking week one lines. That has nothing to do with the draft. That's because of the uncertainty for Tyreek Hill. The only other move I could find, Sleepy, and this makes a lot of sense. Philadelphia went from an 8-point to an 8.5-point favorite over Washington. And I could tell you exactly why that moved, because I think there's clear speculation that Dwayne Haskins is going to be the opening day starter for the Redskins, therefore a downgrade, like Fez was mentioning, with a rookie quarterback. So again, Vegas doesn't overreact to the NFL draft, unlike the public does. Guys, coming up next, we're going to tell you how an NFL team can get a perfect draft grade. Straight out of Vegas, I'm Brad Powers, live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio Studios.
Straight out of Vegas!
Straight out of Vegas, I'm Brad Powers, filling in for Bernie Fratto tonight. Sleepy J is with me. Coming up in just a couple of minutes, we're going to be breaking down Kyler Murray, the number one overall pick in the draft, but we teased it before the break. Here's how an NFL team can get a perfect draft grade. Let's give it a listen.
You know, Mel Kiper's best available is free. Like, literally, if you're watching the television, underneath it, the ticker, it will say Mel Kiper's best available, and then there's a name at the top. Imagine if any team literally just blindly picked whoever Mel had as the best available. Round one, round two, round seven. What grade would Mel Kiper give him or give that team?
A plus.
It'd be a perfect score. How could they have done better? They made the perfect pick every time.
Playing by the book across the board.
Except it's not the book. It's Mel Kiper's opinion. And I don't care how good you are. You could be doubly as good as Mel Kiper or any other draft expert. And it's kind of hard to imagine you know more than the GM of that team. Now, listen, I don't know about anyone's given salary, but you look at Mike Mayock. He was at the NFL Network, yep. Right? And then some would say a dysfunctional franchise. The Raiders said, oh, come and work in the front office. You know, he was packing up his office at the NFL Network that day, I'm sure. You think that draft expert XYZ wouldn't want to be the GM of the Steelers? You don't think he's making less money than the GM of the Steelers? So the marketplace kind of tells you how valuable you are. Little secret, Colin makes more money than I do doing this. All right? He's more valuable. What we know for sure is that to grade another team's draft, you have to know more. The teacher knows more than the student. That's why the teacher puts a grade on the paper. I don't think Mel Kiper knows more than the Steelers GM about the Steelers. So come Monday or Friday, you see all these grades. It's people with less knowledge than the people that they're grading. And the fact that you could get a perfect grade from Mel simply by watching and picking the name that's at the top of the screen kind of shows you how absurd these grades are.
You know what I find's funny? And RJ, I'll give him full credit for this. He brought this up on Straight Out of Vegas on the Friday show. Let's talk Mike Mayock, who for years, I think, widely considered, along with Mel Kiper, one of the best draft experts. A lot of people actually preferred him to Mel Kiper as far as the mock drafts, the player analysis, Mike Mayock working for the NFL Network. And everyone's like, yeah, Mike, you tell him. He's giving out grades. Yeah, I'm with Mike Mayock. And the first year that Mayock's the GM, with his very first pick, he's getting killed at number four. Cleveland Farrell from the defensive end from Clemson. Oakland takes him. It's his very first pick as the GM of the Raiders. And he's just getting killed. After 5 to 10 years of everyone singing the praises of Mike Mayock, it's funny how that works. So I thought that clip was spot on. Thanks for clipping that up, Sleepy. Moving along, though, we got to talk Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray goes number one overall to the Arizona Cardinals. No surprise there. Vegas odds were all over the board. Early on in the process, he was a slight favorite to go number one. Here in Vegas, a book by the name of Westgate had him all the way up to minus 2,500. Think about that. Bet $25 to win a dollar that Kyler Murray would be the first overall pick. Odds slipped a little bit. There's probably some smoke screens going on last weekend, but he ends up going number one. My thoughts on not only Kyler Murray, but the Arizona Cardinals, I'm not buying the short term, and I'm not buying the long term. And we talked about this on Straight Out of Vegas this past week. Let's just go back in a time machine 1 year, just 1 year ago, and think about where you would have projected Kyler Murray to go in the NFL draft. We're not talking baseball. We're talking the NFL draft. In this draft a year ago. And if you had to give a projection, where would he go if he decided that he was going to play football? I got to think fourth round, short quarterback. Russell Wilson went third round. And obviously Russell Wilson was a four-year starting quarterback. I'm going to get to experience here in a minute. And maybe fourth round's even optimistic. Hell, I was really optimistic on Kyler Murray. I bet him 22-1 to win the Heisman. And that's even if he decided on football, fourth round. So just 1 year ago, I don't think anyone in the world would have had Kyler Murray clearly above Josh Rosen, who many thought 1 year ago prior to the draft was the most NFL-ready quarterback in that deep class with Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, Josh Allen, Josh Rosen. And yet here we are 1 year later. Kyler Murray wins the Heisman, had an awesome season. No question about it. Huge upgrade, Kyler Murray. Decides I'm done with baseball. And obviously you have all the measurables. That's what everyone's biggest concerns are with Kyler Murray. He's historically short, whether he's 5'9", 5'10", whatever. You know what I'm most concerned about, Sleepy? And I have not heard hardly anyone talk about this. It's actually Kyler Murray's inexperience. Going through these quarterbacks in the last this century, we'll talk about it. It's become a quarterback league. This century, since the year 2000, you look at all these successful quarterbacks and look how much experience they had coming into the NFL. Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, Ben Roethlisberger, go right down the list. Russell Wilson, hell, even Eli Manning, Phillip Rivers. Every single one of those guys started at least 2 years in college, at least 2 years. And they weren't in spring practice playing baseball. They're taking reps. And no two-sport athletes there. On average, about a little over 3 years of college experience. Kyler Murray, year and a half at most. And I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt his freshman year at Texas A&M. So a year and a half, less than any one of the quarterbacks that's been successful here in the last 10, 15, 20 years in the NFL. And I know you're going to say, hey, quarterbacks, they can come in and win. It's a different league. It's, you know, it's safer. It's all about protecting the quarterback. Let's look at the recent quarterbacks that have been drafted and look at their experience, the successful young quarterbacks in the NFL right now. Baker Mayfield, I think everyone could argue, had a really good rookie season. Baker started 3.5 years at Texas Tech and the last three at Oklahoma. Deshaun Watson, 2.5 years. Marcus Mariota, 3-year starter. Jared Goff, a 3-year starter. Heck, even Patrick Mahomes, 2.5 years. Carson Wentz, 2.5 years. Jameis Winston, the least experienced, 2 years. Every single one of them, 2 or more years of experience. So, guys, Kyler Murray, everyone wants to talk about him being historically short. That's not my problem. He's also historically inexperienced, not only as far as starting goes, but he wasn't taking reps there for 3 years because he's playing baseball. And on top of that, I think he's playing for an historically bad coach in Cliff Kingsbury, at least at the NFL level. I mean, let's face it. Cliff Kingsbury didn't go from Texas Tech. Ooh, hot young coach. Let's hire him at Arizona. No, he was fired from Texas Tech. Fired. A guy that they didn't want to fire the quarterback alum at Texas Tech. They wanted to keep him there. They wanted him to succeed. And we've thrown this stat out many times, and I haven't heard it anywhere else. Throw out the games against Kansas. Kansas is the worst Power 5 program. Kingsbury, 13-35 in the Big 12. 13-35. You add all that up for Kyler Murray, I think the odds are against him having a lot of success as far as the NFL goes. Coming up next, guys, we're talking the largest contract in the history of college football. And I'm going to give you, I'm the guy with all the college knowledge, at least that's what RJ likes to think. I'm going to give you my early top five teams when it comes to college football. But first, let's go to Brian Fenley with the latest.
Thank you so much, Brad. Talking NBA first, the Spurs mentally check out down the stretch. San Antonio trailed by 4 with about 30 seconds left and decided, you know what's a good idea? Let's not foul. The Nuggets had no trouble with that as they win 90-86 to take the series in 7 on Saturday. Greg Popovich sheepishly addressed the media afterwards.
It appeared as though you were calling loudly for a foul at the end. What happened there? Was there a miscommunication?
Well, obviously, he didn't hear anybody because he didn't foul.
And obviously, you were going to get a well-thought-out response from Pop. Sarcasm aside, Pop would probably not have been in the situation if Kawhi Leonard was still on the roster, and Leonard had a personal playoff high of 45 points as the Raptors demolished the 76ers 108-95 in Game 1 of their Eastern Conference semifinal matchup on Saturday. Kawhi is now 14-0 all-time against Philadelphia. Meanwhile, Steph Curry and Klay Thompson deemed questionable with ankle injuries for Game 1 Sunday versus the Rockets. Houston has 0 injuries listed. Yeah, not even Chris Paul. Hey, you need to make good choices, and with TrueCar, you've got a star on your roster. So when you're ready to sell or trade in your car, check out TrueCar. True cash offer not available in all areas. NHL playoffs on Saturday, the Stars outshine the Blues 4-2 to tie their series at 1. The Blue Jackets upstage the Bruins 3-2 in double overtime. It's 1-1 in their series. And the final pick in this year's NFL draft went to UCLA tight end Caleb Wilson. He is on to the Cardinals. Arizona might have just gotten the biggest steal in the draft. Now, if only Kyler Murray could find a way to actually get him the football. Back to Brad Powers.
Hey, thanks, Brian. But real quick before you go,
sure.
Let me ask everyone roundtable here, even you, Sleepy. San Antonio, the players didn't hear anything. They're trailing by four. And for those of you that don't know what the spread is on that game tonight, they're getting 6 points. So do you think any San Antonio players bet on themselves tonight, losing by four? Tongue in cheek, obviously. What do you guys think?
I wouldn't be surprised.
maybe. All right. Maybe. This is straight out of Vegas. Brad Powers here, coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios, where it's easy to save 15% or more on car insurance with Geico. Go to geico.com or call 800-947-AUTO. The only hard part? Figuring out which way is easier. All right. I teased it before trending. Dabo Swinney signs the biggest contract in college football history. 10 years, $93 million. Let's first hear from Dabo.
There ain't never been a 15-0 team. And I know we're not supposed to be here. We're just little old Clemson. And I'm not supposed to be here. But we are. And I am. And I, how about them Tigers, man? I'm so proud of our guys, these seniors. It's just it's a blessing. And it's just simply the grace of the good Lord.
Yeah, Dabo and Clemson are definitely here, and they're here to stay as far as I'm concerned. So what's the Vegas perspective on Clemson? Brad Powers, the guy with the college knowledge, I think right now, I'm not talking career because obviously Nick Saban's had a better career. Even Urban Meyer, who's now retired, probably so far to this date, has had a better career than Dabo Swinney. But right now, I think Dabo Swinney's the best coach in college football, and I think he's worth every penny of that 10-year, $93 million contract. You look at him Vegas-wise against the spread, in his career, if you just blindly bet on Dabo Swinney and Clemson since he took over in the middle of the 2008 season, 56% against the spread. I know it doesn't sound great because there's guys out there promoting 70, 80, 90% winners. I can tell you right now, the goal of any professional bettor to make a living in this industry is 55%. Again, 56% if you blindly bet on Clemson every single game for the last 11 years since Swinney took over. Last 7 years, it's even more impressive. 87-11 straight up. Not too shabby in 7 years. Averaging, 12 wins a year? At least 13 wins. Against the spread, 57%. And I think this is really is what separated Dabo from the rest of the college football coaches. It's the postseason. Extra time to prep in the most meaningful game of the year. In those last 7 years, we're counting bowls and the playoffs. Dabo Swinney's 8-2 straight up. He's 9-1 against the spread. His average cover, that Vegas Lions expectations, Dabo's Clemson team has exceeded expectations, being the Vegas spread by 16 points per game. You say 8-2? You know what's impressive to me? He's 8-2 straight up, but he was an underdog in 9 of those 10 games. And Dabo's not playing little sisters of the poor here. He's playing National Championship Hall of Fame coaches. Les Miles, he wins as an underdog. Urban Meyer, he beats not once but twice as an underdog. Crushes a National Championship head coach in Bob Stoops not once but twice. Blowout wins as an underdog. He's covered 3 of the 4 matchups against Nick Saban, the best coach in the history of college football. They crushed Notre Dame. Brian Kelly's a top 10, top 15 coach in the country. They beat up Notre Dame in the semifinals. 9-1 against the spread with extra time to prep in the most meaningful games. Right now, Dabo Swinney, the best coach in college football. And if this is Vegas. If you're to tell me next 10 years, hey, what's the over-under? How many more national championships is Clemson going to win next 10 years? What would your answer be, Sleepy?
3.
3? Oh, that's optimistic. I put it at 2, so you go over 2.
I like Dabo a lot.
You should. That put him 5. That put him right up there with Bear and obviously Nick Saban. Speaking of college football, again, RJ likes to say, hey, you're the guy with college knowledge. RJ even pitched to me. He's like, hey, just talk college football the whole show. I'm not going to do that to you guys here in April, but many teams just finished up spring practice. Almost everyone's done with spring practice as of today. A couple teams finishing up today, Washington being one of them. So how about this, guys? How about an early top 5 college football from good old Brad Powers? We're going to start it off here. Number 5, we're entering. This is my early post-spring top 5 college football. LSU, the Tigers. Yep. A Tigers team that showed much improvement year two under Ed Orgeron. They win the Fiesta Bowl. They beat that UCF team that had won 25 straight. I know, you just watched the NFL draft. They lose Devin White and Greedy Williams on defense. Offense should be good, though, guys. Joe Burrow's back. 14 other starters are back. Schedule's relatively easy. I got LSU favored in as many as 11 games this year. And right now, you can bet on their game against Texas. LSU's favored at Texas. So right now, Vegas is telling you this is going to be a good LSU team. LSU, my preseason number five post-spring. Number four, the Oklahoma Sooners. Fresh off another college football playoff appearance. And yet again, they got to replace a Heisman winner at quarterback. This time it's Kyler Murray. But do you know who they brought in? Do you know, Sleepy?
No, but I have a feeling I'm going to find out.
Yeah, for those of you that have been living under a rock, like Sleepy, you got baseball to handicap, you got basketball to do. They're bringing in a little old transfer from Alabama, Jalen Hurts. Record as a starter, 26-2 in the spring game. I thought Jalen Hurts looked better as a passer already under Lincoln Riley's tutelage. Obviously, Marquise Brown, their leading receivers, gone. Some offensive line guys. The biggest improvement from Oklahoma is going to be on the defense side of the ball. 10 returning starters. They can only get better than what they were last year. I got Oklahoma favoring all 12 games this season. The Sooners, number four preseason poll from Brad Powers College Football. Number three, the Georgia Bulldogs. Georgia. Second year in a row, they're leading Alabama by double digits in the second half. This time in the SEC championship game, they come up just short. Obviously, they no-showed Georgia did in the Sugar Bowl against Texas. Still won 11 games this year. 13 returning starters. Quarterback Jake Fromm's back. Running back DeAndre Swift is back. They have one of the best offensive lines in all of college football. Concerns, couple coordinators leave, couple wide receivers, best defensive back leaves. But when you look at the schedule, Kirby Smart's done a great job in Athens. Another stellar recruiting class, top three in the country. I think Georgia's going to be favoring all 12 regular season games this year. The Georgia Bulldogs, number three. Top two, no surprise, right, Sleepy? You got an idea who the top two are?
Clemson and Alabama.
You betcha. But maybe a surprise to some. Number two, I got Clemson, not Alabama. Clemson, the defending national champs. Four straight college football playoff appearances. Guys, they're going to make it five in a row. They are the overwhelming favorites in the ACC. Trevor Lawrence, the quarterback prospect of a generation maybe in the next couple of years. Probably the best since Andrew Luck. At least that in the 2021 NFL draft. You're going to be here tanking for Trevor very soon. ETN, the running back, Travis Etienne's back. Justin Ross, big playoff performances against Notre Dame and Alabama. He's back. The concern, that defensive line loses all four starters. And just in case you didn't watch the NFL draft, three of those defensive linemen went in the top 17 picks. That's the concern. But obviously, Dabo's there. He's going to be there for a while. His staff's back. I got Clemson favored, and not only in all 12 of their regular season games, but every single one of them Sleepy by two touchdowns or more. I'll be stunned if Clemson doesn't make it to the playoffs. And finally, Alabama, number one. Alabama, you know, Sleepy had never lost by more than 14 points in 166 games under Nick Saban until that last game in the national title game. Clemson beats them by four touchdowns. Obviously, Alabama loses 10 guys in the NFL draft like they do each year. Saban loses assistants like he does each year. Tua is back at quarterback. Tua Tagovailoa, really good receiving core. Guess what? Number one recruiting class in the country. And how about this? I love this stat. Alabama's been favored in 126 of their last 127 games. I get it. Clemson just beat Alabama, but people forget Alabama was a six-point favorite in that game. I think that blowout loss to Clemson keeps Alabama extremely motivated. The Crimson Tide, my preseason number one team. Coming up next, guys, we got a preview on tomorrow's two NBA games, and we have not one, but maybe I can talk Sleepy into two best bets here. Straight out of Vegas, I'm Brad Powers, live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio Studios.
Straight out of Vegas!
I'm Brad Powers, straight out of Vegas on Fox Sports Radio. We got best bets coming your way here in just a couple of minutes. But first, guys, earlier this week, On Straight Out of Vegas, we're talking how Golden State clearly is not the same team we've seen the last 3 years. Let's give it a quick listen.
Two of the three biggest upsets are in this one series? I mean, this is not normal. What's happening to Golden State, losing games favored by this much? Yesterday, favored by 14. Game 9 days prior, favored by 13.5. Losing those games is not normal. In fact, if you look at double-digit favorites in the NBA the last 25 years, regular season or playoffs, so last quarter century, favorites by double digits, forget the idea that they were 14, Golden State, and 13.5, which is much higher than 10.5, 11. You just take double-digit favorites, they win 89.5% of the time, almost 90%. So across a quarter century, even favorites smaller, 10, 11, 12, 13, win 90% of the time. Clippers have beat the Warriors twice in that situation in this one series, in five games. Now, you might say, oh, Golden State's different. They can turn it on or off like a light switch. Well, pregame.com's Mackey found this in the Washington Post. Ben Golliver. Now, the Warriors' home losses in the playoffs, when they weren't even this big of a favor. 2015, they lost 2 out of 11. 2016, 3 of 14. 2017, 0 of 9 they lost. 2018, 1 of 11. So think about that. 2 of 11, 3 of 14, 0 of 9, 1 of 11. So a small, tiny percentage of the time, Golden State's been losing. Even last year, year before, the Durant years, when they seemed to turn it on or off, the Warriors, they still were hardly losing at home. Now, they've lost 2 of 3 at home. This is not only historic that the Warriors have lost 2 of these games, it's different than in prior years for the Warriors.
Do you know how some people get premonitions? I'm one of them.
And I said, this feels like a different Warriors team.
And Vegas already betting against Golden State as far as the early market goes for this game tomorrow. Game one between Houston at Golden State. Golden State's only a 5.5-point home favorite. Keep in mind, playoffs, you get at least 3, sometimes 4 points for home court advantage. So right now the market's telling you, Golden State only a couple points better than Houston at this point, and you couldn't have said that in recent history. I'm going to give you my best bet on this game right now. Let's not beat around the bush. I'm going best bet, not on the side, the total on this game, total points scored between Houston, Golden State. I'm going under the total, under 224.5. I got to think, the public, when they think Golden State, Houston, what are they thinking, Sleepy? Thinking offense?
Oh, yeah.
High scoring?
3-pointers.
I'm here to tell you that's not the case. Mm-hmm. 35 meetings between these two teams in the Steve Kerr era. The under is 24-11. In the playoffs, it's even stronger. And they've matched up, obviously, 3 times in the playoffs in the last 4 years. The under in those playoff games, 14-3 with an average cover of 13 points per game to the under. Houston's defense, impressive against Utah. You had this stat, Sleepy, that they held them to, what, 13 points per game below their season average. Houston's really getting it done on the defensive side of the ball. I'm going under 224.5. Any thoughts on this, Sleepy?
No.
All right. Best bet from Brad Powers tomorrow, Sunday, NBA action under 224.5. Moving along, second game tomorrow, or actually this was the earlier tip. Boston at Milwaukee. Milwaukee, a 7.5-point home favorite. Sleepy, you got a best bet on this one. Who are you going with?
Yeah, I'm going to take the Boston Celtics. I like the 7.5 points pretty much in any NBA game, but especially here in the playoffs. Line opened up 6.5, now up to 7.5. Give me the Boston Celtics. I like their experience. I like their coaching. I think Boston gets it done here.
Yeah, and this 7.5-point spread, Sleepy, I'm with you. I lean with Boston plus the 7.5. Largest underdog role of the entire season for the Celtics. I think they'll have a chip on their shoulder. When they've been getting just 5 or more points this season, they've covered 80% of the time in those games this season. I think the market really upgraded Milwaukee after that Detroit series. I mean, let's face it. Detroit's one of the worst playoff teams we've seen.
Yeah.
With a hurt and gimpy Blake Griffin, they were already mediocre to begin with. With him less than 100%, I mean, a well below average team. Too much of an upgrade for Milwaukee. I'm with you. I lean Boston plus 7.5. But I will say this. I do think Milwaukee wins the series. Real quick before we get out of here, Sleepy. Two games tonight. Obviously, game 7. Denver beats San Antonio. We talked about on the trending right after. First game. How about the Raptors finally getting that game 1 thing off of their backs? Are you kidding me? Kawhi Leonard, 45 points. This is a different team here with Kawhi.
I was actually really disappointed. I'm from Philadelphia area, and I was really rooting for the Sixers. I thought they would come out and play much better. I thought they'd cover this line. Not even close.
Guys, great show today. I want to give a big thank you to Ryan Bershinger, Brian Fenley, Iowa Sam back in the LA studios for Sleepy J. I am Brad Powers. Coming up next, we got Jason Martin. Make sure you're tuning in for him. Again, this was Brad Powers. This was Straight Out of Vegas. We're coming to you live again from Fox Sports Radio.
Straight Out of Vegas!